I was really holding the belief and the character trait that I'm a weak person. I'm a sick person. I'm a healing person. I was sick. That's who I am. I'm immunocompromised. And so we're in this time of COVID and I'm pretty terrified. You know, I'm pretty afraid to go out because of this compromised immune system. And I have someone come into my home in my safe environment, has COVID. I'm not aware. I'm sharing food. I'm sharing everything with them. And now it's come out that they have it. I'm terrified. Like, I'm really having a nervous breakdown. I'm upset. I'm scared I'm going to die. And time continues on. And I never catch COVID, but I know I was exchanging. I know that germs were around me. And so Derek had just kind of gave me the opportunities, open-minded, you know, and he was like, what if you're not a weak, sick person?
Yeah.
What if you have a super body? What if, like, he flipped it. What if your body is actually really powerful? It had a disease and it beat it and it ate that tumor after even, and it wasn't supposed to. And then you have people around you with disease and you don't, infectious disease, you don't catch it. And it was just like, oh.
These are practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout. Just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
Okay, new season, new energy. One of our past episodes that is a community favorite is the timeline jumping episode. It was the season opener for season 3 of Each Other. And timeline jumping kind of took over, it overtook the manifestation trend a little bit, you know, leap into this new identity, this new character. And it's kind of leading us into our show opener this season of reality creation and what this is. We are kind of getting into this, and Jasmine, you do so much subconscious work and how that really feeds into reality creation. But what even is this now? What is this buzzword of reality creation? Rachel, how do you see this?
Yeah, I see it definitely as the next evolution of manifestation. I think that concept got a little tired for people, and also people started to associate it with maybe like, oh, this thing dropped into my lap, and it being completely separate from all the other things that happen in the world and all of the challenges and trauma and all the things that we have to work through. So yeah, and I also think it encompasses a lot more, like it can be any kind of modality, any kind of law of whatever that you want to apply. It's kind of just like a broader term for that. And I really like that.
So what do we all use when it comes to creating our own reality? Like AC, what do you do when you're like, what is your modality? What's your way of manifesting your dream life or creating your own reality?
Well, for me, it's a little nuanced, because what the manifestation community tries to spiritually bypass all the time is trauma, and bypassing trauma experiences. And you can't manifest your way out of poverty. You can't manifest your way out of...
What are the basic needs?
Bad situation. Like those basic... You just can't do that. So when people come from that, especially Black and Brown people and Indigenous peoples of colors, the manifestation community is very sketchy from that perspective. Just because, you know, there's whole... Don't pay attention to your 3D and all of this stuff. And
what is that? How do I not pay attention to that?
Right. How do you not pay attention? And it's not about, I'm not saying that you shouldn't pay attention to it, but there's so many layers to it. Like someone who is maybe, let's say, a woman of color, but who has more privilege based off of colorism and things like that, we don't have the same experience. I live in a completely different world.
Totally.
So my 3D is very, very nuanced to someone else's 3D. And I see that just growing up in my own family structure, everyone in my family is lighter than me or almost looks Caucasian. My experience, yes, we're both Black, but my experience is very different. My grandfather's mom, she passed for a white woman. So at some points in her life. So that's a very, very different experience. So when we're talking about manifesting and creating our realities, it's not to like, oh, stop, you know, because then they'll, you know, some people be like, oh, then, you know, let's not talk about the bad stuff. You have to look past that and all of those things. That's my experience. I will have to change my programming. I will have to create new, as my therapist says, new neural pathways to do that. But it's still a process. So my process had to unpack trauma, also to like look at things very differently and to say, okay, manifestation or reality creation is also a muscle. So I can't manifest that I live in a $1 million home today. Yes, you can manifest the feeling and all of that, but there's still a reality that I have to live in and live with until that happens. And I have to take action. It's just so many things.
There's a certain level, it sounds like anyway, there's a certain level of awareness that needs to be kind of achieved, embodied, for even for this to even become available. Like there needs to be a personal awareness of like, am I aware of my traumas? Because there's a lot with, you know, even with ego protection. If you've been through a trauma, your ego is going to protect you from ever even kind of going near a situation like that again, where heaven forbid something like that should unfold. So there is, in theory, a lack of awareness, of personal awareness there sometimes to even begin facing some of the traumas that you've experienced. But then there seems to be like a collective global awareness of needs to be available as well. You know, what circumstances are available to me that not everybody has access to? You know, how privileged am I on this playing field and these kinds of things? And if there isn't that sort of baseline of personal awareness, collective awareness, your tribal awareness, I guess, as well could be woven into that, it's like you're missing things. It's not fully available to you. Does that make sense? How I'm kind of seeing that?
Yeah, it makes all sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does make sense, but I also think that
you don't have to overthink it.
And I agree with AC to some extent. I think everybody has the perspective from which they come from. You know, how the way that they are in the world, the way that they showed up in this world at this time. But the way I think about reality creation is that I'm the operant power in my life. And yes, I have a shit ton of traumas. Yes, I have a lot of things to overcome. But like, if I didn't want to deal with those things, I could not, you know, like I could not, and I could still manifest, because the way that I look at reality creation is that I'm always creating my reality. And that's not to blame anybody's circumstances or my own circumstances on myself. That's not like a blaming thing, but a lot of the reasons that I've ended up in certain situations or been in certain relationships are a product of the way that I was thinking about myself in those situations, or myself in terms of my own worth, my own self-love, the way I show up in relationships, the way people show up for me. And when I start and practice changing those thoughts and changing my beliefs around things, things change. My reality changes. And I'm not necessarily talking about stuff and things, but I'm talking about like the people or the way that I'm received by the world. So I agree that there's more nuance than maybe like pop culture will like lets us believe. Like there's more work to it than that. But I do think that the one thing that we all have in common is the freedom of our mind, you know, and our mind is capable. Everyone's mind, most people's, you know, minds are capable of thinking a different thought.
No, I totally agree with that. But I think the part two that is challenging for people is the belief.
Yeah.
That's why you have to, you know what I mean? You have to find the belief.
So where does subconscious reprogramming come in here then?
Finding the belief and really working with I work with a hypnotherapist and we do RTT rapid, whatever the hell it's called. It's RTT. RTT.
Yeah.
And she's wonderful. And what we do is we have to go back into scenes of where I got these beliefs from and change them around.
Right.
And start doing that. So it starts with that type of thing.
Right. You can even do it. I mean, I do that too with my hypnotherapist. And, you know, I think hypnotherapy is wonderful. I think it's expensive as well. You know, it's expensive. Like it's like for me to go to a hypnotherapist regularly is a very, it's a costly
thing. It's an expense.
Mm-hmm. It's an expense. And I think that there's a lot of things that you can do yourself. And I would never suggest to anybody to like really dive into their personal trauma if they feel like unsafe doing that. But like for me, I tend to write, I script and I write down like, oh, I'm having this feeling. It's like this ick. I have this ick. What is, if something's happening, right? I'm feeling less than, or I feel like I didn't get chosen for this, or this person's like being strange in my life. And so I sit with it and I write down the story. I write it just like a story of, and how I feel. And then I think about it and I feel into it. And then maybe meditated on it for a few minutes, not too long, because I don't want to like dwell in that space for too long. And then I rewrite the story. I take out, I say, oh, there's a belief there right there. That here's the first time that I felt abandoned or rejected or whatever. And this new thing isn't the thing that's making me feel that way. This is a trigger from when I was 7 years old or something like that, you know, when I was young. And then I just rewrite it and I take all those beliefs. I reverse engineer them. And I mean, I'll put them in a subliminal for myself, or I mean, it works. Subliminals are great, but you can also just rewrite it. You know, you just rewrite that story and say, no, I've always been loved.
Subliminals, you know, had a moment though too. And there is something going on there with subliminals rather than just, you know, rewriting a script on a notepad. Yeah. Because as soon as you're dealing with a subliminal, you're now dealing, or any kind of soundtrack, you're now dealing with the frequency field. And you're now absorbing emotions, different volumes of different sensations, and it's bringing you, it is doing something to your inner psyche, you know, and it is shifting something, these barriers between the psyche and the body, you know, so there is something that goes on, and there's a lot of ways, you know, like I have a shamanic practice. I'm not somebody who's as experienced with subliminals, but I know they had a moment, and I know a lot of us kind of went and explored that in different ways. And that's a really kind of effective tool, but it's not the only tool. There's tons of modalities that can kind of help you dive in and explore this. And I do want to talk about the shamanic arts for a minute, because even hearing all of you kind of express around this, you're helping me see, oh, that is a huge component of what I do in my own work, which is kind of go in to let your imagination populate this landscape for you and begin to decode the messaging and what's appearing to you. And a kind of strange, interesting aspect of my own reality creation process right now is, I told you guys, I moved on to this resort, and I have these massive windows, the front of my home. I'm overlooking this job site. There's this big crane. I can see there's the forest over here, these buildings going up. And it has started to become this personification of my own journey as a young shaman and having a wellness club and facilitating treatments like this that go deep into remedying afflictions in the psyche, remedy something that's happened in the spirit somewhere along the line. And I find myself kind of before this construction site, and it's like, oh, I'm staring at it. And, you know, over there, that represents this. And over there, that represents this. And they are these aspects of my business, my personal thesis, my study, this life that I'm manifesting for myself on the playing field of life. And I'm now kind of in a space where I'm like, wow, I really would love to see what this resort becomes, because I'm here at the beginning stages. And I really want to, now that I'm seeing myself in it and it's these representations and aspects of my business, what is that going to become? And what does that tower now represent? And what does that tower now represent? And there are these, it's a weird little space I found myself in that I'm now, the landscape has become such a mirror for some of the formless things that I'm actually building. So what are some of the things that we each use when it comes to personal reality creation? Rachel, what do you use?
I think the reason I got interested in this type of thing at this point in my journey and actually sharing it as part of my business is because, probably as all of us have found, because I think all of us do use these other tools alongside human design.
Totally.
Is there's only so far human design can take you.
Well, it's an analysis of your body and your spirit, but like, what about the environment? What about
what
the
do you
space
do with
that,
it? Yeah.
What do you do with it? Yeah.
And what do you do when you're being told, oh, you have this magnetic aura and things come to you, but you don't believe that in your mind? Then yeah, right. It just doesn't work.
Great point.
So a lot of people that I was working with and myself, it was like, wow, I really feel like I'm living my design, and yet I'm still not seeing these things come together in the way that I wanted them to. And so that's what drove me to go deeper into this. But yeah, I feel like you can achieve a lot just simply by, it's like very unsexy, but it's like journaling, momentary awareness. Like yes, anytime as you move through your day, and like I'll hear myself say something, I'm like, no, that, wait, what? Why am I saying that? Yeah, why am I literally affirming that for myself? And then it's like, no, okay, not going to do that next time. And then the next day, maybe you don't do that. Or maybe you do it for 10 days and then you figure it out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's how at least I was able to get through a ton of like really difficult childhood beliefs, even way before, this was like 10 years ago.
Well, because wait, once you become aware of that little habit that you're doing, it starts to become incredibly annoying. Because you heard yourself say it. Why am I saying that? Then there it comes, it slips out again. Why am I fucking saying that? Slips out again. Why? Oh my gosh. And then it's happening and happening and happening. And you're like, hey, and you kind of get fed up with yourself, and something does start to shift. And then you start, out of that sheer self-annoyance, you start making new decisions, you know, from that awareness point that has changed.
I agree. And yeah, that's my book that I'm working on is about that, taking people through a process of self-healing, self-awareness to use certain modalities to unpack and enhance their life from that place of trauma and subconscious programming and things like that. So
where does this all begin though? You have to understand yourself first. Well, it all begins into a period of self-study. Jasmine says, no,
I don't think so.
I believe you do. And it starts with in my book, the first chapter is about your personal story.
Yeah.
You cannot know about yourself because these things are programmed within you when you're in utero from your mother, when your mom has,
you're not even aware yet.
Correct. Yeah. Those things are implanted in you. So it starts there. I believe that you have to go back, not to particularly identify, but you need to know where it starts. The root is important. You cannot move forward without getting to know the root. Some people may think you can bypass it. You cannot do that.
I want to hear from Jasmine Kenna. She's got a different perspective here.
Because this is a very MG perspective.
Yeah, very MG perspective.
I don't think people should buy. I mean, let me just say this. I think that you have to feel to heal. Right.
Love that.
Like I don't necessarily equate reality creation and healing as the same thing. I don't think it's the same thing necessarily. I think it works great in tandem. If you have the time and the opportunity and the resources and you can do all of these things and the privilege, if you can do it, because I just started therapy 6 months ago and that shit's expensive. Hypnotherapy is expensive. All these things cost a lot of money, but like, I don't necessarily need to know. Like when I am having a thought that is like a repetitive rumination of the same thing. Why is this person doing this? I can't believe they're doing this. Blah, blah, blah. I don't need to know the root of that to say to myself, hey, knock it off. What's a better thought? What can you think right now that's better than this thought? And then here's where the trick is. Once you can release the idea that you have to know the whole history, the whole root, the whole everything, it gets a little bit smaller. You can chunk it down. And then I can say, I'm going to have this better thought about this situation or about myself. And then guess what? It snowballs. And now tomorrow I'm having 5 better thoughts about myself. And then 2 days from now, I'm having better thoughts and better thoughts and better thoughts. And then suddenly all those shitty people that were in my life or all these weird experiences that kept happening to me are not happening anymore. And I didn't have to get to the root of it. I just had to get off that broken like record, that deep groove that I was sticking my brain into. So I think that's healing my soul? I don't know, but it's manifesting the life that I want. You know, like I think there's two different ways of going about it. And I think the daily practices are available to everybody like right now. Like you can make those changes right now.
The reason I'm listening to you with an acute ear because you have a totally open head. And this brings a totally different perspective to everything you're saying, because you've now got this echo chamber in your design, taking in all this mental activity from everyone. So, and a lot of it's not even yours. So there are
most of it's not mine.
Traumas that I think might be mine because they feel it's caught. I have an undefined solar plexus. I'm taking it. I'm feeling it, but I've got this mirror head center. And so if I can now recognize that's happening, I can just kind of go pluck in and insert another type of thought. And, you know, because you're essentially, as the mirror, you have the highest wisdom potential in your head center. So I'm saying, I'm listening to you. It's like, do we actually need to know the root? And does that sometimes, for some of us, get us to places that we don't actually have to be, or don't even have the capacity to go in and investigate, because we don't all have that. So at the end of the day, some of us might really need to kind of go in and do that seeking, but others really might be a total waste of time.
I think you're right. And I think it's important to say that I believe in what you believe to be true is true for you.
Yeah, because so, if you believe it, you've created it, right?
Right. But even so, field. Like if AC and I are having, we have a different sub opinion here. But one thing that's completely true about reality creation, from my opinion, and like self-concept and law of assumption, is that if that's what I believe to be true for me, then that is my experience. So what I believe to be true for me is that I don't have to go to the root. And what AC's experience is right now is that she does have to go to the root to pluck that belief out, to figure out the root cause of it. So if that's what she believes, then that's the way her path is.
But me and AC don't know who we are. You're coming from all this and saying this, and you've got to define G. Like, you know, you've got a different core.
Oh, that's true.
Than we have. So for us, loving the self, knowing who we are, where we pick that up, it's a little bit of a different process.
You pointed out something too, like you're talking about reality creation, I'm talking about your soul's journey. So it's very different.
Yeah.
Your soul's journey is you do have to go to the root. And that's what I'm writing about,
right?
Is the soul's journey.
Yeah.
To create a reality that is
soul-based.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's freaking awesome. And that is the path that I am on as well. I'm on an adjacent, you know, like I have one thing that's fast tracked MG and one that's like, oh no, I am doing this work. I am in therapy. Mm-hmm. It is nuanced. But in the meantime, like I want some nice shit and I want to like, I don't want to be in my struggle. Like I don't want to be mired down in my stuff. I want to do everything simultaneously.
Yeah. Like it. Yeah. So soul's journey sounds very beautiful, but this is reality creation. We're talking about reality creation. So how do I, when I'm awake and I'm looking around, how am I perceiving and understanding what it is I'm seeing, you know, and is it possible that I'm not seeing things clearly? Even just in the study of human design alone, we know the formless part of us, we have transference. So we know you have two views, you have two motivations. You know, and can you recognize when one is kind of leading you, oh, and it's not feeling good, and I'm, you know, this can't be my reality. And when am I seeing with a clear frame of mind and I have clarity and I'm seeing things in a way that inspire me, kind of thing. Rachel, you had some things to kind of add in here.
Yeah. Something that kind of, I guess, motivated me to get curious about this reality creation was I saw people that I felt did not understand themselves, weren't particularly good people. Yeah. Who were very effectively creating realities. And that got me interested because I was like, there's something else here. Cause I'm in the school of sort of what AC is talking about, where I feel that I have gotten to the roots and that has been super valuable in a lot of ways, but I don't know that I think there's a lot of sensitive, self-aware people out there, like all of us who are interested in all these things like human design, astrology, who still cannot effectively create a reality, even if we know
I'm so with you.
Our soul's root. So yeah, it's like different layers where it's happening.
Right. I mean, there's like some real assholes who have literally gotten everything they want to have, you know, they don't, they're not self-aware. They're like, I'm just plugging along through life. And I don't think that that's, I'm neutral. I'm very neutral about that sort of thing. Too. Like I personally think that like, if you can think it and you can work it out, it's yours. You know what I mean? Like do the thing that you want to do.
What I'm learning is a lot of people can't even imagine certain things. And so if you can't imagine it, you can't create that in your reality. It's, you know, you need to be able to imagine a better future for yourself. And if you cannot, Well, you will not step into that reality. You don't have the capacity to see it, to recognize that that's what's happening for you.
Can I tell you guys a really funny scripting story? And I might have said this before in the podcast. When I was 12 years old, I wrote in my journal about who I was going to marry and my life about who I was going to marry.
And it manifestation was at 12.
A construction. I know, 12 years old, a construction worker. And I was going to be in advertising or real estate, one of the two. And I was going to get off work at 5 o'clock and he was going to get off at 5 o'clock. And he had to be a construction worker because I didn't want him having to take his work home with him. I didn't want to deal with it. 12 years old. We're going to live above a restaurant. Every day, we're going to go to happy hour at the restaurant, have one drink, go upstairs. He's going to cook me dinner. I'm going to drink wine and sit on the counter. Like total 1980s, like every rom-com,
right? I'm ready to watch the movie. My life. I'm signed up. Here's my ticket.
Flash forward. Yeah, flash forward till I'm 26. And that's exactly what I did. Like that's like to the T. Like I woke up, I remember, like I was like 30 years old and I thought, oh my gosh, I did the exact thing. I married a construction worker who was also a chef. He made me dinner every night. We lived above the restaurant. We would have happy hour in our own restaurant and then go upstairs to where we lived. And I would sit on the counter and he would pour me the glass of wine. And
I'm obsessed with this story.
It's so sweet. And so, yeah, I think.
And they divorced.
And we got divorced. But hey, we made it work. We made three kids.
Beautiful relationship.
Like, that's the point. Like, you can, like, if you can imagine it, you know, and also, like, rip out the beliefs that aren't going to let you have it. Because there's so much of that.
I want to echo you on this, okay? Speaking of casting spells and manifesting on the playing field, I had a girlfriend, and she came over her young 20s, and she was single and she was all bum, and she wanted, it was a Valentine's Day and she doesn't have anyone to be with. And I was like, okay, come over. She's an Aquarius. She's like, I want to do a little spell. And I was like, I'm a six line. Okay. Whatever you want. Let's do it. Let's have fun together. Don't be sad. Okay. She's an emotional projector. Anyway, she makes us write out this list of all these things that we want in our partner. We seal it in a red envelope and you can't open it until your partner comes. I write down he's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he has blue eyes. I cross them out. I put kind eyes. I say he's extremely supportive of my beliefs, doesn't think I'm a weirdo, really loves a powerful woman. I could keep listening, keep going. I put this letter, whatever, in my panty drawer and I just leave it in there. I move around and I keep it in my panty drawer. I start dating Derek and I'm aware I have this red envelope in my panty drawer and I'm aware of what I've written on it. And I'm aware that I have crossed out blue eyes and put kind eyes. That's one of his most redeeming qualities, I find. And it was something that it's like, I kept hearing, like when he came, like he was in my life all the time. I didn't see him that way. And then just all of a sudden I had cast this spell. Once we start dating, I later find out he had cast his own spell and his sister was like to him, like, you know, you've had this couple of these failed relationships, whatever. What are you wanting for yourself? And he's like, I just want someone who can like take care of themselves. Like I don't have to take care of them. Beautiful. He's listing and commanding these things out to the beyond. Okay. In my world, in my love story, I hold the storyline. We are doing that at the exact same time and it just aligned. And then here we are.
That's great.
And I was really nervous to get rid of that envelope because you're supposed to keep it, like supposed to keep it forever. Otherwise, you know, so I'm moving in with Derek and I'm like, I can't have this in my panty drawer. We might combine underwear drawers. Like I can't have this envelope. So I discard of it. And I had low key some nervousness because I was like, that thing was really effective. Like I'm getting rid of it, but like, I don't want everything to explode.
Magic. Yeah.
Do we have any final thoughts on reality creation?
I say, do it. I mean, I think that, and maybe Rachel can speak to this. I think we're always creating our reality. I think that the industry that we are a part of, you know, the social media world, whatever, makes it so special. It's not special, dude. You're doing it all the time. It's what you're doing. It's what we're here for. You're here to have what you want. You're here to like to create. So get going, get doing it. That's what I think.
Yeah, I would just say there's as many ways to do this as there are people, and you don't have to follow one person's way. You can create your own way. Just find what I've done is just cherry picked bits and pieces that work for me. And it should feel good. It should be fun. It should be expansive. It doesn't have to be this heavy thing that you do.
Yeah. When you dial up your awareness and some of the choices that you make in your life, you realize that some of your choices led you to the reality that you're in. And so you can make new choices and kind of end up somewhere maybe better than where you are. AC, what are your final thoughts on reality creation?
Start where you are.
That's cute.
Yeah, I like that.
Start where you are. Perfect.
Start where you are. And hey, a case for maybe writing it down on a piece of paper, what you want, and getting clear on what your wants are. Because Jasmine, hey, you and I worked for us. Who knew?
I know. And that's like if you're a writer, but maybe you're an auditory person and you want to record your own voice saying things to you. I mean, there's so many. There's all the.
Maybe you're a painter. Maybe you like collage. Maybe what? Maybe you just love Pinterest. Whatever.
Sometimes I walk outside like and I just like talk to myself. I'm a talker. Like I'll just say things like, oh, this is, you know what? This is bullshit. I'm changing this. This has to make a note. And that works too.
I do also find I have to intentionally surround myself with the things that I want. You know, like it can start with colors. It can start with types of people I want to be around. It could be fashion can be a big one for me. Like I really have to dress the part. And I notice it really changes how I even carry myself in reality. And when I'm carrying myself that different way, my interactions are different. I'm treated the way I expect to be treated. You know what I mean? So it does really start with me.
Yeah. That's self-concept right there. That's good. We didn't really talk about that, but that's important to talk about too.
Yeah. That's a big part of your work. Next you have this whole subliminal with self-concept. I admit I'm not, I like to me, I'm like, what is that?
Oh, it's just what you think of yourself. It's how you think, like who you think you are basically.
So how you understand, understand
so
yourself.
If you have a self-concept that's like, I never win, I never get the job, I never, you know, like I'm like, that's your energy around it. Like, and you're like, but I really want something else. You know, you have to bridge that gap. You can't like be doing that like sad scene and be like, I'm going to go for this job that is my dream job. Like there's a like space in between that, that you're like, okay, what does this person do? You know, well, how would that person talk about themselves?
Yeah, like this is subtle. Like, you know, I find I hear this a lot in my work, but I have a really good example that comes to mind that Derek kind of gave me during COVID, which was I was really holding the belief and the character trait that I'm a weak person. I'm a sick person. I'm a healing person. I was sick. That's who I am. I'm immunocompromised. And so we're in this time of COVID and I'm pretty terrified. You know, I'm pretty afraid to go out because of this compromised immune system. And I have someone come into my home in my safe environment, has COVID. I'm not aware. I'm sharing food. I'm sharing everything with them. And now it's come out that they have it. I'm terrified. Like I'm really having a nervous breakdown. I'm upset. I'm scared I'm going to die. And time continues on. And I never catch COVID, but I know I was exchanging. I know that germs were around me. And so Derek had just kind of gave me the opportunities open-minded, you know, and he was like, what if you're not a weak, sick person? What if you have a super body? What if, like he flipped it. What if your body's actually really powerful? It had a disease and it beat it and it ate that tumor after even, and it wasn't supposed to. And then you have people around you with disease and you don't infectious disease. You don't catch it. And it was just like, oh. And it just gave me the opportunity to hold that for a moment, like it might be possible. And then do you want to grab that, Nessie? And oh, I did. And I grabbed it. And I then shifted my language into like cognition. This is a super ability we have. Like, what if I was actually a super healthy, super strong? How might I act then? And I didn't even realize I was navigating reality as like, I think I'm a sick person. So I'm just going to adjust all my, how I carry myself. That was a real gift he gave me. And I still hold that. I'm actually a super healthy person.
You are. And that is a new self-concept for you. That's totally. The perfect example of self-concept.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
This was a 6-2 Studio production. Find us at SIX-TWO.studio for all your creative sound needs.